This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, you know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Hey.
Yeah, all right, well, it's Taz here. Moose is out this week. We'll, as I said earlier, we'll be back next week. Zach Gelb doing a great job sitting in for the Moose this whole week, so we appreciate Zach's presence here sometimes.
Thank you for the kind words. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, all right.
You've been sensational to me this week.
Oh, thank you, yeah. Anyway, we're coming to you live right now from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Hey, listen, jobbers. If you want to call the show, it's a very simple process.
Attention, hotline fans.
It's an 855-212. Take two. 855-212-4227.
Attention, hotline fans.
4CBS.
I was going to do that one next. 855-212-4CBS. Thank you for listening across CBS Sports Radio to one of our great affiliates across these great United States. We appreciate it. Or maybe listen on radio.com, the app or the website, maybe CBS Sports on that app, which is great. It's not CBS Sports Radio app, by the way. It's CBS Sports app for those that are wondering. Or maybe listening on SiriusXM channel 206, which is the home for CBS Sports Radio. All the great shows right here on this network, CBS Sports Radio, you can get if you have SiriusXM on 206. So you could do that. Maybe you're following the show on Twitter and Instagram, at Taz and the Moose. My individual, private. Remember, the private's public. My Twitter is at OfficialTaz at 1Z, and Zach Gelb is at the Gelbster. What's it called?
Z-Daddy.
Z-Daddy. It's at Z-Daddy. No, what is it? Is it Z-what?
Zach Gelb. Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B.
That's it, huh?
Very simple.
No one had that?
No one did.
Wow. Okay.
Whoa!
That's pretty impressive.
Now,
all right, so
you've changed me
yes,
a lot this week.
Oh,
I don't think I'll ever do 855-212-4CBS.
That's the radio thing. Don't do that.
Other side of the glass.
Other side of the glass.
And, take it out of my vocabulary.
Take all those cliches out, throw them in the toilet, flush them, and spit in the toilet when you're done. Okay? And use Manscaped. Don't forget to use that. And the code TAZ.
I know when I'm coming up on Saturday morning, I'm going to be doing the intro, and I'm going to be waiting for the official hotline drop, and it just never
it's not going to happen. No, you
attention,
don't,
hotline fans.
Nobody uses any. That's the late, great Gene Oakland, Mean Gene. No one will ever use any drops from this show, Moose and I, or there'll be a fist fight. I'm just telling you right now, because Moose will kick somebody's ass. I'm not fighting anyone. So my fighting days are over.
Only if you sign a waiver will you fight.
All right, yeah. We're going to do the three. Here we go. One, two, three, go.
It is now time for the three. We get you caught up on the three biggest headlines of the day with Taz and the Moose. Number one.
Kyler Murray struggles in preseason game number two.
Struggled? He couldn't get a snap off.
12 yards.
Are you kidding me?
Sensational.
He couldn't get a cadence.
Spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no Cell Jones. Yeah, they're going to act like it's no big deal. Let's take a listen if we can, Pete the Body, the esteemed one, on Kyler Murray speaking about the rough night for the Cardinals offense.
As an offense, it was, you know, we had, I don't know how many penalties, six or seven penalties when I was in there that we got to clean up. Obviously, you know, you can't have those. But, I mean, it obviously wasn't as, polished as we would like it to be. But, I mean, it's a learning experience. Looking at the big picture, it's not a big deal. Obviously, you want to go out and look good. But, they did some things we obviously weren't game planning for. But, we'll go back. And I think, treat this one like a game week or whatever. So just try to be better next week.
I tell you what, I think the young gun right here, Kyler Murray, maybe got a little humbled last night in this little preseason game against the Raiders. And, that defense looked great. And that Raider defense is not exactly the old school Giants defense with Harry Carson and George Martin and Lawrence Taylor.
Carl Banks,
those guys, Jim Burton, those guys. Yeah, what year was that? 89. What year Giants was that, roughly? I'm not a Giant fan. It was... Yeah, would you think that was
86 and 91.
Yeah, that those great defenses or like the the Bears, which we haven't gotten to that topic. Supposed to yesterday, maybe not today. Anyway, so
get to it next week.
Yeah, we'll get to it next week. Bruce said. Yeah, so the Cardinals, yeah, they gotta you know try to figure this out. You know, Cliff Kingsbury with this cadence and a little confusion. I talked about this earlier. You and I did, Zach. You know, he's got this herky jerky cadence before he claps to get the snap in the shotgun from his center, and he was allowed to do that while in college at OU. But you're not allowed to do it in the NFL, and he's getting offsides. He's getting penalties for this. And I watched the game, and I saw Kingsbury talking to the officials in between series, about what the heck is going on. Why does he keep getting the flag? And the ref is explaining it, Zach. And then you see Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach of the Cardinals, explaining it to all three quarterbacks on the sideline what's going on. And which I posed a question earlier. We were talking, you and I, and it's like, what the hell? I mean, why is this not happening in practice? Why are...
What are they doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? Why is the... You said the guy was the passing coach. I can't recall the gentleman's name. And he's a veteran coach of 12 years.
Tom Clemens
in the NFL. Why? I mean, I know Kingsbury's a new head coach. I get it. But you got to know the freaking rules, right?
Those are the rules!
And you got to know the rules. I mean, it's that simple. You got to know what you're allowed to do. And Murray didn't know.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, it's not pass interference. It's not holding. It's not something that...
Hey, look, here it is. Watch on TV.
Oh, yeah, right there.
He's moving his arm, but he's clapping. He's like, hip, hip. What's this? What's going on here?
I think your series going off.
Oh, my God.
I transcribed the entire segment, it looked like.
Oh, no, that's not good.
People are always listening to you.
Wait a minute. This is weird here. where does that go out to the world?
No.
Because I was talking about someone during the break. We don't want to get public.
Yeah.
Otherwise, Mikey B is going to lose his job. So
you're fired, Mike.
No, I would.
Get him out of here.
Mike's panicking. How do I pull up old series notes? Is that possible? That's a no.
No, it's all gone.
Don't know.
Oh, God.
Early break.
I think I tweeted it by accident. Check my Twitter, Mike.
At official Taz right now, if you like. See Taz's career.
See what happened during...
See Taz finally get fired from a job.
Evolution of a career.
You thought my hot cheese and hot take on the school spirit jerseys of Entecom was bad. Mm. Where do you see this?
Well, talking about someone, by the way, that could potentially get fired as well, Steve Keim, the general manager. I wonder what he's thinking because he said after 1 year, goodbye to Steve Wilkes, goodbye to a top 10 quarterback in Josh Rosen.
Right.
Also had an off-the-field problem in Steve Keim with the whole DUI arrest.
Yep,
It was an ugly divorce, too, with Josh Rosen. Never really talked to him after he traded him. And then he picks a new coach that wasn't that popular, that did not have success in college, and a quarterback that is very short. So I wonder what Steve Keim is thinking. You don't get too crazy after one or two preseason games, but this year, if they don't look like they're going to be the pieces of the future, Steve Keim may be looking for a new job next year.
You could be right.
You could be sitting in this chair.
Maybe. Right. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? He's sitting in for Moose?
I could be filling in for me. They'll never let me fill in after this week again.
Wow. Sounds like you did a great job here. All right, two.
Number two.
Sources. Colts have guarded optimism regarding Andrew Luck.
You hear that?
Who's Zach Martin's
sources? I was just going to say, sources.
Like he's the pork beans are telling me.
Yeah. Pork beans, spitballs, some football with Taz and a moose.
Strangled testicle.
Now those are some serious sources.
Yeah, those drops.
Ouch.
This is tremendous. It never gets old.
Is there background behind that drop?
No, we don't do drops here.
Oh, that's
you keep
right.
saying
sorry,
the word drop. I don't even know what a drop is. You keep saying the
when
word
Zach
drop.
Just walked into the studio and screamed that.
You just keep saying inside terms. So guarded optimism, okay? That's kind of how I'm going to go into the next time you're sitting in for the Moose. I'm going to have guarded optimism about you. What the hell is that?
I would pray.
Do you know what guarded optimism
it's
is?
It's praying. They're hoping a certain outcome is going to happen their way. They want to be really positive, but down deep, they know he's not playing week one.
I'm with you, dude.
Now, guarded means serious of an uncertain outcome, and optimism is hopefulness and confident about the future.
Dictionary.com Jones. Okay, got it.
Contradicts itself a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
All right. So, thing is, like, I think it was you who said yesterday here on our show here that it was... that they were cautiously optimistic. So why would you change, if you're the Colts, the wording to guarded optimism? Why would you use that kind of vocabulary and vernacular to show the power of your dictation that you have to be so fancy, Dan, language-wise, and then you put more attention on it for people like us to talk about it.
Because they are apprehensive of the situation, and
it's a rhetorical question.
You can even see what Jim Ayers say. It's one injury a certain second, and the next night.
I know.
It's not that injury. He misspoke, blah, blah, blah. They don't know what they're doing right now because they're losing fact of all the facts because they're concerned about what it's going to be that he's not playing week one and how it's going to be perceived.
Yeah, well, no, you're not wrong. You're going to have Jacoby Brissett as the starting quarterback week one for the Colts. That's what's going to happen, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we're going to go to three. Here we go. Picked up.
Number three.
DeMarcus Cousins with a torn ACL.
Yeah, it stinks for this guy. New man on the Lakers there. You know, he's been through so much with injuries.
Achilles.
Quad. The quad. The players, no one touched him. Loose ball. Remember that? And he went and his quad just popped. Horrible. And, you know, he's, man, talk about, you know, just an actual natural segue to Andrew Luck with someone who could potentially be an injury-prone guy. Hate to say it like that, but that's kind of Boogie Cousins. I mean, it's a shame. It's sad. I mean, you know, and this guy was not loved for a long time, as you know, Zach, in the NBA. Like, a hated guy.
Oh,
like,
he was a jerk to the media in Sacramento.
Heel Jones, like Aaron Rodgers-esque.
But you need that.
You know? Yeah, well, I guess. But now he's, everybody feels bad for him, and you should feel bad for him. It's a shame. He hurt his knee, apparently, I believe it was on Monday, training. And it tore the ACL, but I don't think he knew about it. Apparently, he was out celebrating or hanging out with his friends. I think it was on Wednesday. I heard this. And he never brought it up. And now since then, he's kind of gone dark once this news came out. Maybe he didn't know it was as bad.
I don't know. I was here late yesterday sucking up to the bosses.
Well, that's what you do.
I'm never here when it's light out.
I know.
It's usually
late. Always here, and you are a kiss-ass. Okay, I digress.
When I was here, someone walked into the newsroom and they said, oh, there's some injury with DeMarcus Boogie Cousins. There wasn't really any information.
Yeah.
And then 15 minutes later, someone said, Woj, who is Adrian Wojnarowski. Adrian Wojnarowski.
I thought it was Woj.
Said it's a torn ACL. Snap of a finger. Just like that.
It's crazy, right?
And we're not really thinking basketball right now. We already went through the whole offseason drama. Mikey B, myself happy with the Nets moves and all that.
You're a Nets fan too?
Yeah. Oh. I'm a Nets.
They're everywhere.
Nets mark.
But
here we go. It's so unfortunate because
hold on a second, Mike. You're gonna have Zach Gelbon as a. He's gonna be a guest soon. I'm sure on Basketball Drives, right?
Got to have the bigger following.
No. Dude, anybody who has a pulse in this building, he has as a guest. Pete the Body's gonna be his guest. He's coming up soon.
I'm never a guest on any podcast. No one likes me.
Oh, that's a hint towards me. Because he's a big wrestler.
Oh,
you see what he did right there, man? Mike? Yeah, he's a.
Can
mark.
You throw him a bone though?
No.
Until I guess you still
he was supposed to do.
Content.
He was supposed to do an element for me, a production element that I begged him for about 2 months. I still haven't gotten it yet, and maybe I'll consider. He gets shout outs all the time. I talk about him, maybe not positively, but on the podcast, I talk about you.
Well, yeah, he's not popular with your fan base.
What's that, Mike?
You do talk about him. I tuned into one and heard somebody take a real shot at me.
Very old.
It doesn't matter to me. I'm Teflon. I'm okay.
I know. Teflon
but you're
bomb.
A mark.
Wow, look at this guy. I'm
a fan.
You are a mark.
Smart fan.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
Go
hold
ahead.
On.
Yeah, sure.
You said the word smart fan. Now I got to educate people, Pete, to this. So now there's something. You know what a mark is. I taught you that. Now there's something called a smock.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the pen drop. Did you just
please,
see that?
I haven't heard that.
Mike's like, I didn't hear this one. Pete knows what I'm talking about.
My head's going to explode.
A smock is what Pete just... He set me up, by the way. He knows how to... He controls me. He's got his hand up my back. Puppeteer Jones. He controls me, this guy, Pete the Body. And I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And like an idiot, I'm letting him control me.
You take the bait.
Oh, I take the bait. Hook, line, and sinker.
I'm
so,
not doing anything.
Yes, you are. You lying
son of
sap
a you know what?
Sucker. So a smock is a smart mock. So what that means, not when I say smart, though, you think you know what I mean, but you don't. I don't mean like he's got a good GPA. I mean, a smart mark is someone who...
3-8.
Somebody who...
And on the joke?
No, that they know all the ins and outs of wrestling, and but they never wrestled a day in life. They never stepped in a locker room in their life. And they are smart to everything that wrestlers talk and what they do. So it's called, there's a term years ago that's called, like, that guy's smart. He's smart. When someone says smart, it's another inside term. It doesn't mean smart like intellectual. It just means he's smart to the game or to the business.
So, if there was
so it's called a smart.
If there was a school of marks, you'd be on the dean's list if you're a smart.
If you're a smart, yeah. It's impossible for someone like me to be on any of these type of lists. Because, like I said yesterday, I'm a doer, not a viewer.
See, that's the big thing that I misconstrued yesterday. When I said it, I go, oh, you're a mark of Mikey B.
Yeah,
and then
all
your followers go, you can't call him a mark. He's the one that we bow down to, basically.
Wait, hold on a second. My followers, a lot of them came at you on Twitter?
They're actually pretty light.
No. They come at you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you got a lot of mentions.
Mm-hmm. But I never realized, and I explained to one guy, I never realized that you couldn't call Taz a mark. I didn't get the whole structure of it.
It's like impossible. Like, it doesn't make sense.
And I knew I kind of said something
that
wasn't allowed.
It's like calling Gene Simmons of Kiss.
Oh, I'm going to Kiss next
week. A groupie.
Week.
He can't be a groupie.
I'm going to see Kiss next week.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I'll show you a quick photo.
You don't have to. But
Jack's a Kiss mark.
Yeah. do you know
my mother just texted me. She said, you're a mark.
She called me.
No, me.
Okay.
I'm like, many people going after my mother
that was,
now.
That was mom's taking hot takes at me.
She's a nice, sweet lady.
She called you mom. That's nice. Well, I Mrs. Gelb, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. Oh, face paint Jones. You
2010.
Yeah, Peter Kiss face you got there, right? That Peter Kiss with the star?
Mm-hmm.
I star Jones. Yeah, I got it. So, you know that I used to use for many years, there's a Kiss song, Pete the Body.
Yes, on your intro.
You know what song or not?
I don't
remember. Act like you know if you don't know, because then the wrestling fans and the We Over Nation will really come at you.
Well, I didn't know what the We Over thing was yesterday, and people came after me for that, too.
This is a lot to learn. You got to just be careful. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to be careful. Mike's just laughing. He knows. Like, Mike, right? It's just...
I said this yesterday or 2 days ago. I just can't believe from when I started not knowing any of this now to being like, how do you not know this?
Wow. He's funny. Mike's the best. Yeah. But so I did use a Kiss song for many years and build of my career. So many, and you'll know the song. Mm-hmm. When you hear it, you're a big Kiss fan.
I wouldn't say I'm.
Oh, I thought you were like huge.
I would say I'm a decently sized.
What is this song? You know,
I'm awful with song and names.
Oh, okay, then you don't know.
No.
But you're going to the concert.
Yeah.
Wow.
You tell me the name, I'll know.
Wow. I'm gonna go to break. I know that. We're gonna talk about the '85 Bears, and then start a break as we listen to Kiss War Machine.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I know it now, Taz.
No, I am musically challenged.
Oh, you're challenged.
In many ways. War Machine, yeah.
All right, no problem.
See, now what you should have done, you should have said, oh, it's like Detroit Rock City. And then if I said, yeah, you go, yeah.
No.
Could have exposed me there.
We're going to go to break now. Okay, Zach? And we're going to talk about the 85 Bears and then start a break. Taz and Zach Gelb, we'll be right back.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, indeed you are. And you also, you people, need to know that CBS Sports Radio toll-free line 855-212-4227 is brought to you by Geico. Great news! There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. We will get into talking about the 1985 Chicago Bears. Are they the best NFL team of all time? Ah! If you want to call the show, give your opinion who the best team is, who you think the best team of all time. Like I said, 855-212-4CBS. It's time for our latest sports update with the man they call Z-Daddy.
Pete's not ready.
The man they call... Thanks for pulling back the curtain, Zach. Good job. For the man known as Z-Daddy...
Okay. He's on an 8-second delay.
All right, let's take three. All right. Well, Z-Daddy, don't.
The music starts a little slow, that's all. Second and third preseason.
I think the board ops a little slow.
Second and third preseason games. Usually when you start to see more of the starters on the field, That wasn't the case for Aaron Rodgers, though, last night. The former MVP missed the tilt with the Ravens due to a tight back. Baltimore ends up defeating Green Bay 26-13. With Colt McCoy still hobbled, the Redskins quarterback competition seemingly up for grabs right now. First-round pick Dwayne Haskins looking to take advantage against the Bengals.
Dwayne Haskins takes a snap. Some heat up the middle. He's going to float it deep down the middle. Man is there. It is caught by Davis. And he's in for a Redskins touchdown. 55 yards right on the mark by Haskins, who was under pressure and let it fly.
Larry Michael. Are a mock.
Redskins Radio Network.
I heard him say mock.
Haskins, 7-14, 114 yards. That one TD toss. The Skins fell to the Bengals 23-13. Ryan Finley, the rookie fourth-round pick, coming on to throw for 150 yards and two scores.
Can we hang on a second? Hold on a second.
Wow. That's pretty good.
That was fast.
Silence, it just, please. Well, because the... You're doing a great job as usual, Donald. Okay. You know, you're the best. We know
Thank
that.
You.
But
we have your new music bed playing under you.
Right. I'm trying to talk over it.
I was just going to say, it's blasting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are talking, your intensity level.
Yeah.
You're talking louder.
It is fast.
I got to get over
you're
it.
Trying, it's a fast song. Yeah. And I got to tell you, it's just sitting here, it's entertaining.
Okay.
All right. There we go.
So keep going.
First-year head coach and first-year quarterback. Inevitably, there'll be some growing pains. That was apparent with Cliff Kingsbury and first... Okay.
Oh, man.
I'm tired.
This guy hasn't slept on 24 hours. We're killing him. Oh, my God.
Cliff Kingsbury and first overall pick, Kyler Murray. Growing pains. First-year coach, first overall pick. Cardinals offense struggled, as did Murray. 3 of 8 passes for 12 yards. He also took a safety. Cards fell to the Raiders 33-26. This is Kingsbury on using Murray's mobility within the offense.
There's a fine line you have to walk. You don't want to get a hold trying to do too much when you feel him go. But also, you got to know that play could be extended quite a while, and so just don't stop your feet, keep moving, and know that, you know, good things can happen.
Every coach should have a soundtrack of those pressers underneath too.
Yeah, that would be good, like a little music bed.
Yeah, like
when he said don't stop, you know what song I was thinking? Don't Stop Believing. What's that, Journey? Yeah. Don't stop believing.
End of the night bar song.
I picture you loving that song.
Oh yeah, that's a Boston end of the night bar
song.
Yeah,
see, that's your Boston guy.
My old bouncing days.
Yeah,
oh, Belichick would be Beethoven, by the way.
Yeah, what's that?
Belichick's like
the. Why do you gotta bring it up? Because you're a Patriot Mark. The guy next to you is a Patriot Mark, too, and Zook.
He's
not bringing it up.
No.
Two marks make it right.
To the diamond, as we said a lot this year, baseball's flying out of the park all over last night. Jose Ramirez, pair of dingers, including a grand slam. Indians hammered the Yankees 19-5. Matt Chapman, two more homers. He did it for a second straight game.
Hold on a second.
The Astros 7-6.
Hey, Mike, isn't he normally a guest on the show, Matt Chapman?
That's Matt Chatham?
Chatham.
Yes.
He's former Patriot.
Marks. Go Pats!
Right. There we go.
Nice. Well played. In there.
The biggest homer of them all last night, Bryce Harper, a walk-off grand slam. Phillies trail the Cubs 5-1 entering the ninth before rallying for a 7-5 victory, capped by that Harper clout.
And, wow, this was long, bro.
Finally, golf at the BMW Championship, entering second round play this morning.
Peter
Justin
Bonnie's
Thomas.
Dancing. Yes, he's doing Hucklebuck in there. Do the Hucklebuck.
Let me take my glasses off so I don't have to see that.
Justin Thomas and Jason Kokrak tied atop the leaderboard at 7-under. Tiger Woods at -1. Back
remember the hot take you had, Zook, on McIlroy? You hate him. Remember?
Oh, can't stand him. God, I don't know where he is right
him.
Now.
He ripped him.
Not a McIlroy guy. Yeah.
Rory Jones. Yeah,
he wanted to eliminate beer sales at U.S. courses because...
Not a fan of his.
Yeah, because people were getting on him.
The crowds are too raw.
They were getting on him, yeah.
Well, here, I can
see like they used to get on Colin Montgomery, too.
Yeah, see?
His mentor.
We leave you with Zook bringing his intensity level up. Hey, Darwin, listen, it's good to see you. I don't know when I'm going to see you again, but maybe I'll see you in the fall or the winter or something.
Absolutely, that would
be great. Call him Darling or Darwin?
I call him whatever I want.
Okay.
Yeah, his name is Zook. It's Darwin.
Z-Dad.
I call him Darling. He's a darling man. He's a very handsome man. Why wouldn't I? I could call him Darling if I want. I'm very secure in my manhood.
Yes, that's a sign of security.
And even though you didn't say it, you are welcome that I lent you my eyeglasses yesterday.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you very much.
I had to bring it up again, but yes. I just wanted to make that. Thank you, guys.
You can use my... One arm.
There's a trash can. Throw it out. Okay,
I will.
They're $4 at CVS. Go buy new ones.
Wonderful
they're
seeing you guys.
All right, good seeing you. It's great talking to you. All right.
Have a great life.
That's Zook, ladies and gentlemen. That's Zook. All right. Good job. All right, anyways, 85 Bears. You know, if you want to talk about, like, you know, who's the best, what is the best NFL teams We were supposed to do this topic yesterday. Mike, what was this supposed to be about?
The USA Today came out with their top 100 NFL teams of all time, and number one on the list was the 1985 Bears. And I should also mention that Pete Pilotti has a lot of anger against the 1985 Bears.
I saw a little bit of that off air yesterday. Yeah. Pete, they were a hell of a team.
No, I love the 85 Bears, but I hate the talk constantly about them. I mean, they're not the only team in the damn NFL. All right? So, and plus, they're probably better teams than them. I mean, there's a guy sitting to your left that's a fan of them, one of them.
The Pats.
The Pats.
Yeah. What
Pats.
Year?
Yes.
Pick one.
Yeah, exactly. Look, the 85 Bears, they had great players on the team. They definitely, you know, they were a team that, you know, in the draft, you know, William Perry, the refrigerator, for those who remember the big defensive lineman, defensive tackle from Clemson. And that was before Clemson was the cat's meow. Clemson was a really good program. If I remember correctly, it was years ago. I graduated high school, I think, in 84 or 85, so that was a lot of years ago. So I think during that era, Clemson had they weren't winning national championships, that I can promise.
I thought you were younger, by the way.
I'm not. So I come off very immature and sophomoric, but I'm actually a grown-ass man. So now back to what my point was. So, yeah, William Perry was the top guy in that draft, and then Reggie Phillips was the second guy they got. But their team, I mean, they were super dominant. That defense was known as...
Led by Buddy.
Exactly. Buddy Ryan coaching that thing up, and obviously Mike Dicker is the head coach. I mean, they were just a tremendous, tremendous. They had a great team, obviously, and a great staff. I remember how hot they were. Like, they were just must-see TV everywhere. TV commercials, everything. They were hip-hop Jones. They were rapping.
Super Jim McMahon, Bowl Shuffle.
That's right. Jim McMahon was a quarterback. The late, great Walter Payton, unbelievable running back. Matt Sui, a lot of guys no one talks about. A great fullback that they had. Tremendous receivers. Willie Gault was one of them. That was just a tremendous player. Their offensive line had Jimbo Covert that played for Pitt. Okay, he was a big offensive tackle, was a great player. Hilgenberg was their center, another great player. Van Horn was the other tackle.
Dennis McKinnon was on that
McKinnon
team.
McKinnon was on that team. Otis Wilson was a strong side linebacker for them. Obviously, Samurai, Mike Singletary in the middle, number 50, was a beast. Linebacker.
I could listen to him talk football.
Oh, the
day,
best,
the
dude. Way. Dude, I said this on the air, Moose and I, a while back. We were doing a show, and I literally ran into Mike Singletary one time. It was at an airport. I was laid over in Chicago or Dallas. I can't remember where I was laid over. And he.
And you probably don't usually geek out to celebrities.
I don't ever.
Yeah.
I've never in my whole life.
This is Mike Singletary.
And I saw I saw him, and I'm like, oh, Samurai. And I'm like, and I had to make sure. Because he wasn't, I knew, everybody said that he was not that tall of a guy. And I'm like.
You could tell by the eyes, though.
Yeah, you could just tell. But know how I could tell? His neck.
Mm-hmm.
He had that thick neck. And I'm like, that's Mike Singletary. Oh, okay. You know when this was? This was right when he got the head coaching job for the 49ers.
Oh, okay.
So I was laid over somewhere. I want to say Chicago. And he was connecting somewhere in Chicago. I didn't go up to him. I don't bother people. I didn't do that. But I remember seeing him there, and I wanted to go up and shake his hand, introduce myself to him. I didn't do it because I didn't want to bother the guy. He was trying to make a flight, and I'm not a mark. So, but it really was it was cool. His presence, though, dude, just seeing him walk in the airport, you could tell, all right, he's the man.
I got a chance to interview him before the playoff game last year.
You've interviewed everyone. You're a big guest-driven guy, huh?
You got to make a name when you're doing 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern on the overnights. But Singletary, that was one of the interviews. Sometimes you get a guest on, you go, oh, why are we putting this guy on the air? And then you start to peel back on those types of guests. When you're talking to Mike Singletary,
was he cool? Yeah, was he?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's the man.
So whatever time you need.
That's nice.
Nice guy.
That's nice. So you know, obviously Singletary was one of the main cogs of that defense, and they had just so many great. I don't know if it was a 30 for 30, one of those ESPN things, and it was on Buddy Ryan, I think. You see that one, and then. And he, as he was older, and his body was.
Oh yeah.
And
then Mike Singletary
went to see him, and it was, you know, it was kind of sad because, you know, Ryan was in bad shape, but anyway, it was really cool. I don't remember if it was 30 for 30. It was one of those ESPN.
Maybe an E60,
something like that. I don't remember. But anyway, the 85 Bears were legit, and their defensive line. Richard Dent was an amazing defensive end for them. Mongo McMichael. Who I have a story about him too. He was a defensive tackle for them who was great. Where did he go to Texas, McMichael? I think he played for Maybe our research team, our NCAA research team, can search that. I think he went to play for the Longhorns, I think. And he was a major defensive fan for them, a defensive tackle for them. And, you know, as letting many know, he got into the wrestling business years later for WCW. Where'd he go, Mongo? Anybody know?
Texas.
Okay, Taz is right again.
Yes, Texas.
Okay, so got it. Next.
Should we ever doubt you? No.
Sometimes you could. So, anyway, so what happens is I see Mongo McMichael in Tampa, Florida. We're doing this ECW show, and we do a big show, and we were hot then, ECW. Like, we were the renegades, you know? So a buddy of ours, a lot of guys in ECW locker room, owned a sushi bar, owned a Japanese restaurant in a trendy area of Tampa, okay? And we go in, and the place was packed, but he had an upstairs room, a private room for us. So we go up to the private room, and there's like 20 wrestlers and, you know, people, production people from ECW, just partying, hanging, eating, and stuff like that. And Mongo McMichael comes walking up the steps. Big, huge dude, loud man Jones. And because he was doing business, he was wrestling, doing some work for WCW. You know, if you remember that, he segued into wrestling. And
won't
I
won't pretend like I do.
Okay. And I got into a little verbal altercation with him.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did. Because he was a little bit cocky Jones. And he was coming in and kind of like, it's kind of like, even though it's not a team sport, there's a certain etiquette amongst the locker room. And he was from a rival company and a bigger company. But when he came up into our private room, he came off a little bit and he was getting into it a little bit with one of our key guys, which I won't name, who was very drunk and couldn't really talk up for himself. I wasn't drunk. I was obviously, I had a cognac in my hand, and I was packing a lip. And at that time, jacked to the nines and to the gills with a tank top on. My traps were this high, and my buys and tries were gigantic. And I thought we were talking about the 85 Bears. But anyway.
Dollar Bears.
And we didn't have a fist fight, but we had a little bit of a verbal thing. And then I thought about, this guy's probably pretty tough, but I'm very tough. And then we were okay.
So no punches or something?
No punches. No. But anyway, so that's my Mongo story. But bottom line is, they had great players on that team. And were they the greatest team of all time, in your opinion?
These lists are always so tough.
Okay, it's just simple.
Yeah.
You're a Pats fan, so you're going to
No, but like, I don't know how you compare those. It's different eras. Like, if I'm doing this list, so the whole point of the list was greatest 100 teams of all time. I would do a team a decade. That's what I would do if I was doing this list. Because, like, for example, they put the 69 Jets at 16.
I'm looking at a different list because I refuse
to. USA Today?
I'm not looking at that one.
Oh.
My 16 is the 71 Cowboys, who had a great team. A lot of those Cowboy teams were great, by the way.
I'm sure there's hundreds of lists.
Bro, I'm talking about when Roger Staubach was the quarterback of the Cowboys. And
I caught a pass from him once.
Did you really?
Staubach. It was at an Army-Navy event.
That's and he went to Army, yeah.
He was throwing.
No, he went to Navy. I'm sorry, he went to Navy.
Yeah,
went to Navy.
Wayne Harden was his
coach. That was dangerous. Yeah. they don't like
and,
that.
And he was just throwing footballs. He goes, who wants to catch one?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I got a story about him, too. Ran into him in an airport and just briefly said hello. Yeah.
Is this because you take private jets everywhere?
No, it's because I traveled most of my life. I didn't sit in a radio station in Manhattan. But anyway.
I have a story about him also.
Oh, yeah.
He connected ISDN from the Super Bowl and came on our show.
Oh, wow, look at that.
There
you go.
I thought Mike was going to say, I delivered him cookies last night.
Well, that'll be next week. So, look, a lot of great teams. Zach, my opinion, let's leave it alone. Like, I feel like as a society, as a football fan base, there is no greatest team ever. There is. I don't think there is one. There is no greatest team ever.
Because if you play in the 72 Dolphins, you say, well, we're undefeated.
We're undefeated. Nobody beat us. If you play in the 78 Steelers, okay, and you got a guy named Mean Joe Green and the greatest linebacker ever in Jack Lambert, or in my opinion, or Jack Ham, L.C. Greenwood, Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Rocky Blyer, Lynn Swan. I mean, you know, you got like John Stewart. I think I said him. You got, if you're on that 78 Steel team, you're thinking, okay, we're pretty good too.
And how many teams didn't win but had some great seasons? You could go through that.
I'll tell you.
It's not just because I'm a Patriot fan, but the 2007 Patriots, in the time, that was the one of the most dominant teams anyone's ever seen.
No doubt.
And because they lost the Super Bowl, they're down on 17 on this list.
Bro, I remember in the late 80s, maybe 88, 89, and then early mid 90s, the 49ers, dude, they had runs where with Montana and stuff. Like, dude, they were like Jerry Rice, like dude, I'm talking, I remember, you're too young to know, but I'm just telling you, dude, they were like the Pats, all that like the Pats, like that feel.
Vikings, too.
Vikings, too, had some great teams. I don't put the Vikings, though, in the convo what some of the teams were saying.
Fair.
I don't.
But I'm saying teams that got close that didn't.
Yeah, no, I got you.
I don't think they were a great, great team. But how about that Panthers team a few years ago that only lost one game? They were a very good team. I don't expect them to be on any of these lists, but...
Panther team?
That lost one game. Then they lost in the Super Bowl. That was two.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were great when we saw them, but that's... Lose two games in a season is pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right.
So...
Forget the 2014 Bengals.
All right. 2014 Bengals.
Oh, yeah. Andy Dalton in his prime.
Wasn't Boomer on a good Bengal team? Esiason, that is.
He lost in the Super Bowl to the 49ers.
49ers. That's
right. This is Boomer Esiason.
All right, on that note. All right, Taz.
You hear about it all the time. He talks about it.
I want to go to break. Taz with Zach here. We're going to break. Coming back from break with the undercard. Undercard, the stories you missed from today's show, we will get to. Bye-bye.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, well, here's the deal. It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question is from Lisa in Memphis. I saw yesterday the Bengals played the Redskins. Which of those teams do you think has a better season? Okay, don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Whew, that's a difficult question.
Lisa.
I don't think either of these teams would be very good, obviously. I will go with the Redskins. I like what they did in their front seven. A year ago, some really talented players. I get the Bengals have a good front seven as well, and the Trent Williams thing is a concern.
It's a big concern. He's a legit tackle.
I've just seen too much of Andy Dalton. I don't trust him to stay healthy. A.J. Green is banged up. I'll roll with the rookie, Dwayne Haskins. Just depends how long they take him to get on the field.
Tough to disagree with you, my friend Zach. You know, I agree with you. So, Lisa in Memphis. Yeah, I think...
By a win, let's say.
Yeah, no, I mean...
One will be four wins, one will be five.
Right. You know, look, Redskins... And, you know, Mark Belusis, co-host of Taz and the Moose.
Mark Belusis.
Big Redskin Mark, for sure. Yeah, look, they got a lot of talent there on the Redskins thing here, on the roster, I should say. And, you know, there's something about them this year. I think that they're going to have that extra chip on their shoulder. You know, they have a guy in Daron Payne, a young player, second year at Alabama. Hell of a nose guard, hell of an interior defensive lineman who's underratedly excellent. This guy, I feel, keeps his head on right. Could be a game wrecker for sure. And, you know, Haskins, like you were saying, I mean, you know, I just think that...
The line's the concern. Trent Williams, when you said Trent Williams,
I jumped up because it's like, that's a big deal. So that's a big deal. That guy is the real deal, you know. So we shall see. By the way, CBS Sports Radio toll-free line, 855-212-4227 is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, so it's time to do the undercard here. 3-2-1.
Taz and the Moose present the undercard. The stories from today's rundown that we haven't talked about on the show.
All right, Mike, what's up?
All right, Tom Brady, he's the quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Who?
Tom Brady, he's won the Super Bowl. Per NBC Sports Boston, Brady was asked if he would want to be a coach. He wrote, "Oh, hell no, I'm never coaching. Playing is enough for me." Is there a current NFL QB you could see as a head coach when his career is over?
First off, I want to say I'm not shocked to hear Brady say that, because a lot of great players don't want to coach, never do coach, and would be horrible coaches. Because sometimes for better players, it's tough to teach. It's tough. You don't have the patience. And a lot of what great players, not just football players, players have, comes from instinct and feel, which you can't coach. You can't teach.
And also you get into a situation where you're evaluating talent, too, and you're comparing them to yourself and trying to find a similar thing to yourself, and you miss out on other players. Like, look at John Elway. John Elway, as a talent evaluator, has been awful drafting quarterbacks.
Oh, really bad.
And you would think he'd be able to do it. Michael Jordan's been a bad owner.
Right.
And you would think he'd be able to assemble a good team.
They're good points you bring up.
And if you're Brady, with how much you've sacrificed, and 20 years doing this, don't you just want to go sit on a beach somewhere, enjoy life with your wife and your kids, and not worry with this stuff?
You know what he's
going to
do? He's going to be an architect.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, he's going to.
Build houses.
He enjoys putting houses together, building houses. Like, not a contractor. He's going to be like an architect.
$39.5 million home.
Yeah, exactly. In Massachusetts. No, I'm telling you, that's what he's going to do. He's going to be bored, and he basically said he has a passion for it. So he's probably going to go to school or whatever, go to his architecture school. Is there such a thing? I don't really know.
He can make a school if he wants.
He could actually make a school. He could, or with his money, just hire all the architects and just have them work for you.
He would be the smart of the architecture school.
What do you think, Pete? Good idea, right? I'm just
head architect.
I'm the head architect, and all you bums work for me.
The head George Costanza?
Yeah. Remember that? Well, he's an architect. To answer your question, Mikey B, which NFL quarterback do I think would make a good coach? That was your question, correct, sir?
Yes.
Can I give you someone that just retired?
Finish?
I thought you were stalling there for a second.
No, it's called I Don't Talk Wall to Wall, so the audience and I have a conversation. So you don't have to talk wall to wall.
I'll write it down.
And slam people up against the head. You know what I mean, bro?
I got you.
So I ponder at times, I think. Now I know why Moose gets upset when I interrupt him. He does get upset.
Moose did text me this week. He said, interrupt Taz a few times.
He probably did. Eli Manning's my guy to be I think would be a good coach. Eli Manning, New York Giants quarterback. His patience, his experience, his legacy amongst his father, his brother. It's just his knowledge, his success at the biggest showcase as a Super Bowl champion, all this stuff. I'm just saying, Eli, I do pitch him being a really good
all the success. Your analysis, I agree with.
I just can't. It's a simple question, Zach. Do you think that he would be a good NFL quarterback coach or NFL coach?
No.
Why?
I don't think he would.
Why?
Don't think he has the personality.
I
think he's a laid-back person.
Why does he need a personality?
He's a two-time Super Bowl
champion.
What, he's
got to be John Gruden now?
He's got to be
Rex Ryan with a personality?
Do you think he wants to do this for another 15 years?
That's not the question that the producer asked. He said, who do you think would be a good quarterback, a current quarterback back that would be a good coach?
All right, sure, you're right.
No, you don't have to say I'm right, but that's the question. So I'm saying Eli Manning. I don't think saying his personality. You're right. His personality
stinks.
Comes from
a great football family. Okay,
no,
I got
you. Not just the Zach. I don't know if you heard what I just said. It's not just the football family. It's his ability. It's his success he's had. It's his knowledge of the game. Is he not a knowledgeable quarterback?
Can he relate to younger players though? He didn't relate to Odell Beckham.
That's a better argument. That's a good argument. But if you had a son, I know you're young, and your son wanted to be a quarterback, and you lived down the road from Eli Manning, and he offered to coach your son up and teach him how to play quarterback, and your son was getting ready to go to high school, would you want Eli to teach your son?
I'm saying, where's Peyton?
Peyton's different. He has a different personality.
I would definitely let my son be coached by Eli Manning.
So who's your pick?
I would go with Jared Goff. And here's why.
Jared
Goff knows Sean McVay. If you know Sean McVay, you get a head coaching job. Jared Goff is the guy.
Any connection to McVay is the key.
Taz had coffee once with McVay in an
airport.
I'm going
to be a new coach.
He's going to be a coach.
All right. Well, before we wrap up, so what happened on the poll, right? So you guys had a poll with the play-by-play. This is Zach's favorite part of the show.
Gelb 1, Mark 0.
Okay.
Enjoy your weekend.
He couldn't let me even finish setting it up. He had to let everyone know that all his friends from Temple voted for him.
Stuffed the ballot box.
Yeah, he stuffed the ballot box. You did win. What's the percentage, Mike? You were the loser. Why don't you tell everyone? Go ahead.
62-38.
I'm shocked.
Well, he didn't take your advice. That's why he lost. He had to promote it. He did not promote it enough.
Oh.
I told my Temple marks, hey, go on out, take care of this.
Mark.
In 20 minutes, bam, I win.
Good job by you, buddy. You did your due diligence. And congratulations on winning the poll.
Yeah.
You'll never be on this show again. All right, turn it up, kid. You did a great job this week. It was a lot of fun working with you, dude. Seriously, you know, I mean, really, you're self-deprecating. You're a talented young man. And I look forward to working with you again one day.
All right.
Good job. All right, Mikey B, great job. The Zooks, the Z Daddy himself was great. And, of course, Pete the Body. Again, Zach, thank you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Adios.
There's got to be a 10-second runoff here. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.